Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Well, he got 10 points right out of the gate.
Right.
Good evening, Northern California. This is Nigel and James. How are you doing?
I'm well. How are you doing?
Finally, Reading weather is the way it's supposed to be. I know you hate it, but
it's on its way.
This is normal Reading weather.
It's when you get these north winds, they're telling you that the hot's coming.
And what is it? It's May 18th. So from now through to, if you're new to Reading, let's see, from now through end of September.
No, right? October.
October.
I've actually been
trying to be optimistic.
In my lifetime here in Reading, I have trick-or-treated in the snow, and I've trick-or-treated when it's 110.
Wow.
So you never know what you're going to get with Mr. October.
Well, considering Halloween, 110 would be more apropos, right?
Mm.
Okay, yeah. Cool. Anyways, May 18th, and we're smack dab in the middle of election season.
Right. And the 10 points was because off air.
Kevin Cry
got the song, our intro song.
And he recognized the Van Halen song.
Holly.
So he's obviously an 80s kid.
Oh, yeah. I'm an 80s adult, I think.
Yeah.
So, Kevin, you're running for Shasta County Board of Supervisors, District 1.
Correct.
Welcome to... I don't want to say hell, but welcome to the pack.
It's welcome to something. That's for sure.
How are you enjoying your first foray into politics?
I'll tell you, I'm enjoying meeting the people. I've met a lot of really great people. A lot of people that I probably would have never crossed paths with. Some of them are my greatest supporters. Canvassers. They're on my sign team, just really, really great, great people that I never knew. And they just heard me speak and said, hey, I want to be a part of what you're doing and the change that you see for the county. And it's been awesome. And I've had really great conversations with someone that's 19 and then I had someone 94, in the same day. And that's cool. Those are cool relationships.
It's a good part of life.
Yeah, it's a great part of life. And that's not something I've ever... I don't think appreciated enough like I've appreciated the last 6 months. When you coach and you work with people's kids and you have a business, you know people and you just kind of go through life and but when you're actually really having meaningful conversations, what's important to them, their families, their grandkids, their neighbors, you go to a different level. That's been great. So that's been the great part of it.
but for you, it was almost a spur of the moment. Decision to run.
Yeah.
It's not like you were planning this for three years or a year.
No.
You said, boom, I'm jumping in. And
yeah. When I was, studying social, as my undergraduate's in social science, when I was studying that in high school and then, of course, in college, and we're going through government and all of that, it was just like made my stomach turn thinking about politics and running for office and, the governing stuff and just had no desire. Zero.
And here you are.
Here I am. Yeah.
What is it? Desperate times call for desperate measures.
Yeah, it's one of those things. You'll see somebody walk by a garbage can and throw something away, and they'll miss, and they'll pause for a second, and they'll look and see if anybody's around.
Looking, yeah.
Or they'll throw it and not even know they missed, or they'll throw it, know they miss, and just kept walking. Mm-hmm. So for me, this was the whole you throw it and you know you missed and you're like, oh, I got to go back. And I put my shopping carts back, I always feel like my mom was there and she's going to knock me on the side of the head if I don't.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, when I went to my first Board of Supervisors meeting and realized the state of our county, it was just like a whole garbage truck dumped over and I was at fault, and I had to clean it all up and I couldn't do anything but make sure, so I had to run. It wasn't a matter of, someone's in a pool and drowning. I'm going in, clothes and all.
It's funny that you mentioned that because I've mentioned this story before, and I don't know why it struck a chord in me because it really is a true sign of individuality, humanity, how you were raised, how you think about your environment, all those kind of things, right? There is a gentleman that's actually quite often homeless man that lives, well, not lives, but is quite frequently in the evening in one of the eaves of this building, right? And I was across the street. Yeah, he sleeps. So he kind of does this thing there, right? and then he goes in the daytime. I was crossing the street coming here to a show once, and I could see him from far away, and I saw him get up, and he had a bunch of trash in his hands, and he literally crossed the street to La Cabana and then walked up the street to the Arts Council and threw all of his trash in the garbage can that was on the corner, and then came back and sat down. And I thought to myself, you know, hear this whole thing in my head, right? Like, I'm looking at this person, and truly, you know, when you see all these homeless camps and stuff, it's just like tons of garbage. Like, the disrespect is unbelievable to me. I mean, okay, you don't, you know, you're homeless, but, you know, throwing away your garbage cheap, you know.
Anyway. Yeah, valueless and homeless.
He did that, and I walked up to him, and I said, hey, you know what? I just watched you cross the street and throw away your trash. And I said, and I just am super impressed with what you did as a human being and as another occupant of Reading, right? You could have very easily just it, and you didn't, and you chose the right decision.
100%.
And I said, you just blew my mind, and I'm super proud of you as a human being.
Yeah.
Good for you.
You know, and a lot of people like to hear that.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things for me is, like, I was getting gas. I travel, you know, back and forth to Sacramento to catch, you know, a plane if there's nothing available here in Reading.
I was going
to
say, be careful.
I know.
Jim is listening.
I'm going to come across that table.
So I'll get gas a lot of times coming or going in Cottonwood. You know, it's a great place just to get it, like, when I'm out of town. Okay. And there was a guy there that was going through it, all the trash cans. And this is like 2 o'clock in the morning, so there's nobody else around. And
was it the Chevron?
Yeah. It was right there by the Holiday Market.
Yeah. Okay.
And he's intentionally avoiding coming near me.
Mm-hmm.
And then he starts riding off, and I flag him down, and I give him a few bucks, and I give him all the bottles and cans, like from all the bottles of water that were in my car. Because, you know, when people are like trying to respect your space, that goes such a long way. And those are the ones that you want to give a hand up to. You know, you want to help them out.
Yep.
I'll give you another example, though, that this is something I've really noticed since I've been walking neighborhoods and going to, you know, since I decided to run. I try to talk to as many people as I can so I can understand the situation, what put them there on the street.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got, you know, a lot of times you see somebody there on the corner at Costco coming in off of Dana.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've asked people, hey, you know, you're hungry? Yeah. And so they'll grab all their stuff, and they'll go inside, get a piece of pizza, whatever they want, you know, from the food court there. And then you'll have other people say, well, can you bring it to me?
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, can I bring it to you? I thought you said you're hungry. Well, I am, but I don't want to miss cars. I'm like, all right, you know, forget that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because that's the problem, is we don't, you know, there's just that, you know, there's the paradigm of the people that are out there, you know? Anyway.
Yeah.
So now that you're running, do you find yourself paying more attention?
I pay more attention to a lot of things that I don't want to say took for granted, but I just assumed, you know, and we all know what happens when you assume.
Hmm.
So
you're wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm wrong a lot.
So for me, I mean, there's been so much positive coming out of this for me, but yeah, I'm paying attention to a lot of different things now. You know, and it's, you know, I feel like a lot of people's issues and problems and things that's really on their mind and on their heart, they're really like voiceless. They really don't have a voice. And that's what I really feel. I feel like, you know, and anybody that ever played for me, I was far from a perfect coach. But one thing I think my players have always said about me is I've always had their back. And if I ever felt like an official was, you know, jobbing us or the other team was getting away with hand checks or playing really physical in the paint and we weren't getting those same calls, my players never had to speak up or, you know, whip their head around and glare at the official because I was going to do it for them. I'm going to have their back.
Mm-hmm.
And I think all those years coaching and training and competing with people, alongside people, have uniquely put me in a place now where I'm okay with standing up for those people and being their voice.
So real quick, we have 1 minute left in this segment left. Are people treating you differently?
You know, yes, in some ways, in other ways not. Like, you know, now you'll see people that, like, you know, I know that, you know, where they sit politically may not line up with me. And I'm like, hey, you can still say hi to me. We've known each other a long time.
Right.
And other people, you know, will come up and put their arm around me and say, oh, man, you know, I'm so thankful for you doing this.
Sure.
And, you know, so I think there's just some people that are really excited
well,
to see.
Well, it's a small world, and it's an even smaller Reading, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Costco's only got so many aisles.
Yeah. All right, this is the end of aisle one.
Yeah, right.
Aisle one, yeah.
We'll be right back.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least three realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
And we're back. Good evening, Northern California. This is Nigel.
We are back.
And we have Mr. Kevin Kwai on with us. If you're new to Reading or Shasta County, yep. Kevin Kwai is running for Shasta County Supervisor, District 1.
We just turned the corner into aisle 2.
Right. This is aisle 2.
Aisle, yeah.
What would that be, produce? So, you know, I like to say it's obviously a small world and an even smaller Reading. And everybody kind of knows each other. You know, it's kind of strange.
Yeah.
I had to get used to it. I mean, when I moved to Reading and I saw that they had the grand opening of Trader Joe's on the front page of the newspaper, I'm like, oh, I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
Coming from L.A.
We were just talking about that today.
Or like when Macy's got the escalators and kids were riding the escalator up and down.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
You, because of small town, you obviously have a long history here, mm-hmm. right? So, for those who don't know what your history is here, why don't you give us a little background of what you were doing?
Yeah, so
before you became a politician.
Yeah, politician. Don't say that; makes my skin crawl. So, for me, you know, well, I'll say this: I'm getting into politics. Politics will not get into me, and mm-hmm. I've said that a few That's times. Right. But I've been a teacher and a coach and a strength and conditioning coach. Since 1999. So after college, when I graduated, I youth pastored for 2 years. And then in that time, I started Upper Hand Athletics. And I was a strength and conditioning coach for high school, college, even, you know, younger athletes. And then as I did that throughout some years, I was also substitute teaching a little bit because it was, you know, I loved being involved in schools and coaching. And, you know, just fast forward quite a few years, I felt like I was a rich kids trainer. So I wanted to go and teach full time. So I took a job, a varsity basketball job and a PE job up in Southern Oregon. Did that for a very short time, then switched over to college for a year. And during that time in Oregon, my wife and I just decided that we wanted to come back. We wanted to come back to Reading. We love Reading. And Klamath Falls is only a couple hours away,
yeah.
You know, an hour or so into Oregon. But we decided to come back. And so I started training again. But you know, again, you know, I'm a big believer, like money doesn't get me out of bed. Like
it
doesn't motivate me. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's
a treadmill does.
Yeah, treadmill, yeah. But it's really like, you know, my heart has to be in it. My heart has to be in whatever I do. So
doesn't it make it so much easier?
Well,
I'm the same way.
You don't feel like you work.
Yeah,
you
know? Exactly. That's what it's about.
And that's the part of this quote-unquote politics stuff I've enjoyed is getting to know the people and the group of people I met earlier today, but I'll tell you about that later. But so then I wanted to merge sports and coaching and training with more of a business side. So fast forwarding a little bit, I got into being an agent for people from that television show, American Ninja Warrior.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, we started to do live events. So I acquired a course. And then the car fire happened, and we already had a big event going. And so we had, instead of a three-day event, wound up being like a 15-day event. We had over 8,000 people come through. And, you know, Reading Neighborhood Church, which is now Pathway, was obviously instrumental in that. And so when I saw what that did for the community, and then the campfire happened, and when the campfire happened, we couldn't find a place in Chico. So I wound up renting a place at the gym. And just knowing what joy does to kids, people in general, but especially kids, and how that helps them break that quick cycle of PTSD and what that does to their brain, the actual chemicals to their brain, I thought, wow, this is special. So the mall actually asked me if I would consider staying there, and I had a travel course at the time, and I said, well, no, I my travel course, we travel all over the country with it. And so I did a big event. I did the Super Bowl of rugby in Hong Kong, the Hong Kong Sevens. So we set up our ninja course.
That was a long flight.
It was a long flight, 15 hours, and watched like four or five movies. It was great. Had a great seat, a lot of leg room. But, you know, for me, I did this big event, and then I had a second course. And the idea was I was going to sell it when I came back stateside. But the thing in the mall just kept kind of calling to me, like, man, you should do this. And I thought, wow, it did so much for the kids and the community. So I said, sure. So I wound up renting the space at the mall, put my second course there. We were open for about 9 months, just about to turn a profit, and, you know, shut down. So out of the shutdown, that made me really double down on what I believed. And what I believed was family, kids, and freedom.
You felt, just like many of us, I'm sure, that it was under threat.
Well, kids can't
SDF.
Kids can't choose their parents, right? Kids can't choose their parents. So my kids, you know, we have a backyard, you know, and a basketball court or whatever. And, you know, if we were bored, we went down to the ninja gym. So then we got laser tag guns, and we were playing laser tag at the ninja gym. But there was, you know, there's 25,000 kids between, you know, 5 and 18 years old. And out of those 25,000, a large percentage live at or below the poverty line, you know. And what were they doing? You know, who was taking them cool places, or what were they getting to do? School's their outlet.
Not.
The reason why child abuse went down, you know, locally is because the mandatory reporters weren't with those kids all the time. So when I saw, you know, so many kids hurt and broken, and people reaching out to me, and I was, you know, just doing all I could for any kid that I knew of. And, you know.
So this was obviously before you had any kind of inclination of running for anything
at all. Yeah, exactly. So back to your original question of vocationally. So the ninja gym, and then I'm now an agent for about 13 people, Olympians, season one winner of The Voice, Javier Colon, just, you know, I work with UFC fighters, just all different kinds of walks.
So it's always been physical fitness for you.
Yeah. It's always been around sports.
Was that a spark? Was that a spark as a kid?
You know, kind of. I mean, I was probably the least athletic of my brother and my three stepbrothers. So out of five boys, I was probably the one that was.
You're lucky you're alive.
Yeah, exactly.
that's where the competitiveness comes
from.
Yeah,
well, competitiveness, but honestly, it was just, you know, I knew what I was. I know what I'm good at, and I know what I'm not. And I think what I'm good at really lends myself to the vocations I've chosen, either being an agent, putting on massive live events. I mean, we're doing an event in Kenosha, Wisconsin. We were contacted
by... Yeah, so let's sit on that.
Yeah. So, you know, there was obviously the Kyle Rittenhouse riots and lots of stuff. That community's severely still divided. So we're in the final stages of doing this contract, which could be a 10 to 14-day event in the city of Kenosha with their, you know, they have 28,000 students, I believe, in their school district. Shasta County has 25,000. Their district has 28,000. So we're working out some logistics, Ocean Spray, Snap-on, Toyota. We have some major corporate sponsors.
So when will this happen?
That would happen in October. We're going to do it with a coat drive. And, you know, for really rally the community to get a lot of coats for kids and do some things. So, you know, in terms of, like, vocation, like, I love that. I love bringing those types of things to communities. We've done them in Manhattan, Philadelphia, Arizona, Texas. I mean, all over, you know, so.
When did you realize that was, like, something that was striking a chord with kids?
Well, honestly, I myself, because I it was like an episode of Caddyshack. I had a gopher in the backyard, couldn't kill it.
Movie.
And I kept trying to kill the gopher, and I couldn't kill it. And it was just blowing up my yard, so I bulldozed the whole thing, and I wanted to build a ninja course, and because we were watching American Ninja Warrior as a family, you know, 6 years ago, and just, you know, threw up, it's like Lemony Snickets, but the difference is they were all positive events. They weren't unfortunate. And I wound up meeting people from the show, and I built this course in my backyard.
Don't you have a course going on now somewhere?
Yeah, yeah, we have one down at Cottonwood School District. And then we were in Klamath Falls this last week, Cottonwood this week. We're at Cascade School next week. We've been at Reading School District. We've been at Gateway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's I love it.
Remind me, this just popped into my head. I want to talk to you just a split second after the show. Just
okay.
don't leave until I do because I just want to pick your brain.
You want to join Ninja Coalition?
Yeah.
Give it a shot?
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, so vocationally, like for me, and I'll tell you what running has done for me, among things, but one thing it's really done is I've got great leaders. I've got great leaders, and they are probably, I mean, not probably, they are underpaid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we haven't raised our prices since we opened. Obviously, cost of doing business and then replacing obstacles and trucking and everything else.
Ridiculous.
But I have a phenomenal staff, and Amber Abrams and the whole team at HQ, Brittany and Talon and Jake and Tino and Isaac and everybody else, Tim. I mean, I could go on and on, but
I know all those people. Those are all great people.
They're all so committed.
Yeah.
So committed to what we do
mm-hmm.
that when I said, hey, I want to do this, I had to almost come to them like a second family and saying, look, you know, I'm not an absentee owner at all, but I'm not super day-to-day involved. Well, now that I chose to run this office, I said, I only have one speed, and that's go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no throttle. It's if we turn it on, we're going to go. And Amber knew that, and she said she's got it. And, you know, so that and my,
cool.
my talent agency and everything is just
see,
going
I was
going
to say real quick, though, that you're almost like a double threat. I thought, uh-oh, not only is he a politician, but he's also an agent, a Hollywood kind of.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that's part of this is like, you know, when things are divisive, like I've worked with brands and athletes who are just really want to just hose the other person. And, you know, a lot of time, everybody I represent, they know, like,
yeah.
they're not always going to be happy, and the other person isn't always going to be happy. And those were when the best deals are made. Like, I can be a shark, but the world is, life is way too short, and the world is way too small to burn people, burn the bridges, burn the towns that are, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can roll up my sleeves and do what it takes if I feel like we're being taken advantage of. Like, I've got, definitely have that line, and I've got a backbone to stand up for what I believe in. But, you know, you want everyone to go away feeling like, ah, not perfect. But, you know, and that's where everybody wins.
Mm-hmm. So some of us who are not teenagers anymore, remember the Oklahoma City bomber?
Yeah, right. I'm sorry,
and,
Nigel, for you.
Yeah,
you're not a teenager, but it's great where I'm at.
But you have somebody you may at some point be bringing to Reading.
Oh yeah,
the Oklahoma City.
Yeah, with my friend Chris. If you remember that iconic photo from the Oklahoma City bombing, where he's carrying out the baby.
Mm. That's my favorite.
And the baby obviously passed.
Oh,
yeah, so I've gotten to know Chris pretty well, and he speaks all over the country about mental health
mm-hmm.
and PTSD and what it's like overcoming like major, you know, heartache or adversity. And he's got a great story, been married almost 35 years, and it's a powerful story, mm-hmm. and it makes your stomach turn because.
What year was that?
95.
90. Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of those events I remember. I remember seeing that.
Oh,
live.
I totally remember it, but I don't remember what the year was. I can't remember that anymore.
Yeah. No, yeah, but I met Chris at a fire rescue show in San Antonio a couple years ago with one of my companies. I'm also the CEO of a fitness company called Endless Rope and a partner. And I met him, and I'm helping with some of his speaking stuff and
mm-hmm.
not representing him formally, but just helping him out because he's such a good guy. And we talked about, you know, we're Facebook friends now, and we've been talking. I saw him again here a couple weeks or about a month ago. And he said, man, I'm really just proud of you for running. And because he knows I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't like something I ever aspired to do,
even
in the short time he's known me. And I just told him, I said, yeah, we have a really big, you know, crime and homelessness and mental health issues in Shasta County. And
a crisis.
Yeah. And he said,
you know, what's interesting about Shasta County. So, cause, I've seen you and I've seen others speak, right. But it's kind of like a double-edged sword because we talk about the crime
mm-hmm.
and the homelessness, but yet at the same time, also, we talk about what an amazing place this is, right?
Yeah.
And so literally all it takes is to go 5 minutes, either, east, west, north or south. And, it's an amazing environment, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, we have to fight for the Shasta County that a lot of us know. Like I was with some people today, and they came here 6 or 7 years ago,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they've noticed changes in six or seven years.
Yeah.
I said, well, go back 20.
Mm.
Go back 30.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I mean, you know, advisor construction group. They asked me to come in and talk to their team and talk to them, got some pictures, and, you know, they're very supportive of what I'm doing, and I just met them today, and I'm super thankful because they're a group of very hardworking men and women mm-hmm. with a business here in Shasta County, came here from Washington, mm-hmm. and, you know, this is, I mean, California dream, and I still believe in.
Yep. Yep.
And you are our only sponsor because we limit our show to one sponsor, and that's Mr. Chad Phillips from Mr. Real Estate.
Yeah,
you
were just on the phone with, I think.
Yeah. he's a good guy. He's another one that's supporting you, I believe.
Yeah, no, Chad. Yeah, I mean, again, just going back to what I said at the very beginning of the show, like someone like Chad who is becoming a dear friend, and I just met him, I think, 4 months ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's a sweetheart.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so. but there's just a lot of – Mm-hmm. There's just a lot of people, you
yep.
know, and it's humbling.
Yep.
But you know, it's seriously, it's very selfish. I'm doing it for my kids.
Yeah.
And I'm doing it for my neighbors, and then that kind of grows, and now yep. and now it's not.
You're not doing it for the fame and fortune, I would say.
No.
All right. This is the end of our first
two.
Half hour. All right, end of aisle two. We'll
yeah.
be back right back with aisle three.
All right. Awesome.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
That sounds just like Wally.
Yeah,
starting up.
She'll wake up in a minute.
I know.
Good evening.
The delay.
Yeah.
We have family in the studio, and they're yep. looking at us through the window, and
yep.
we're sending them silent
yep.
and subliminal messages.
So we have Kevin Cry with us. He's running for Shasta County Supervisor District 1. Brand spanking new into politics.
Yep.
But just like anything else, right? So you jump in with both feet,
yep.
jump into the deep end right away. Has it changed you in any way? Have you?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think I've changed. I think I've changed for the positive. I think that, you know, I'm really, like, going into COVID, you know, I've done things vocationally because I've enjoyed them. I love being around kids and competition, but it's still how I made a living. Going into COVID, then the whole focus became just on my family, like making sure we got through it, you know, and making sure if I knew of other kids that were struggling, helping them. So now coming out of this, I feel like I've got that same competitive fire that I had when I coached, but now we're not talking about, you know, Shasta versus Enterprise or Anderson versus West Valley kind of thing. And now it's really about getting kids, getting families to a place that they feel safe. That's affordable, that spurs business. So it's changed me in the fact that I feel like now I've got like this, it's a positive burden to carry for a lot of people that just, I've really been like crying out for some change and just haven't seen it.
Mm-hmm. So even as a candidate, are you getting people calling you from the community?
Oh, all the time. Well, I get my cell phone number out on the phone, 530-524-0005.
Is that a mistake?
No. No, I had a person call me and said, I wanted to know if you'd answer. I said, yeah, why wouldn't I answer? They said, well, I just didn't know if it was a real number. I'm like, I'm past that stage of my life. You know, I'm not giving out fake numbers. You know, and actually, I was never even a stage. But the reality is, like, you know, I want to be accountable to the people, you know, if and when elected, and then fire me in 4 years if I don't do what I say. And now, you know, I've easily met enough voters. Excuse me. I've easily met enough voters that if they vote for me and I got elected, they'd be able to come and say, hey, I talked to you. Mm. You said this. You're a liar. Mm-hmm. You know? And so I'm accountable.
Or not.
And, yeah, exactly.
And not to put any pressure on you, but me as a voter, right? I'm one of those people that really feel like if you've said something to me and you don't hold your end of the bargain, I want to talk to you.
Yeah.
Because
absolutely.
I just think it's like, you know, and you could probably tell me to, you know what, but I would want my peace.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. And that's the reality is, and Nigel was right. Like for me, you know, I have already kept a bunch of promises as I've just campaigned and talked to people.
Sure.
You know, telling them I'll follow up with them about something. Mm. If they ask a question I don't know the answer to, you know, 3 or 4 days later.
So you follow up, you don't circle back.
I don't circle back.
That's the thing, right?
I follow up, yeah. And, you know, and even sometimes I'll even go to the actual house because I know, it's an older person and I'm not going to send a link.
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
So I printed stuff out. You know, and that's kind of – yesterday at the Board of Supervisors meeting, there was a lady up there that was – I believe she was probably in her 80s, was having some problems, getting some stuff. And the lady at the – I won't say her name, but the lady at the county office gave me a stack of her cards and said, here, if people need something printed out, have them call me. And I thought that was great.
Yeah.
I think that's great.
Yep.
You know. So it's definitely changed me for the positive.
So one of the buzzwords this cycle around, obviously – is corruption, right? So we're hearing about that. That's always kind of a heavy word. So are people approaching you with things that are going on or that they're seeing? Are you uncovering things in the county that you didn't think you would?
Well, I'm becoming a lot more educated where I can ask questions why. Mm-hmm. You know, and I don't think by and large, most people are corrupt.
Mm-hmm.
I really question why they make some of the decisions and choices they do. I think their values or the reason maybe they got into it shifted somewhere where they got, you know, whether they know they were manipulated or not, they chose to vote differently than many thought they would have going in.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'll say this. And it's not so much a corruption thing. It's really more of a stance about what we believe. And, you know, if I hear one more time about jurisdiction or about the state says this or you can't do that, well, I mean, don't we live in the state with the governor that just basically thumbed his nose and flipped off our president for 4 years and did whatever he wanted anyway?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so
pretty much all of Washington doing that right now.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just doing things that
are
not allowed
But I mean, we were, you know, in California, you can't call ICE. You know, if you have an illegal alien that commits a crime, we can't call ICE anymore in California.
Hmm.
So at some point, I think we have to say, hey, look, it's time to roll up our sleeves, get really good attorneys and push back on the state and sue the state. Because our state hates us.
Mm-hmm.
Our state hates us. You know, and our federal government, our president, they hate our way of life.
Mm-hmm.
They're just dismantling everything, especially we hold dear here in Shasta County.
Yeah.
Well, it's the simple things that that we hold dear, right?
Yeah.
just the simple things.
Yeah. Well, just like, you know, if I own a business and I want to be open, people don't have to come in.
Right.
It's my right to be open. And this is just because if people think that, you know, oh, COVID's over. Because that's what I'm like, but see, that's just it. You didn't learn your lesson. I mean, that's the thing, right? Like if you're smart, you learn from your own mistakes. If you're wise, you learn from the mistakes of others.
Hmm.
And for me, what I see right now is like that's the first thing. You look at what's going on in like New Zealand and other places like that where they're starting to fine you if you don't get COVID tested for COVID. I mean, and oh, that's New Zealand. Okay, well, COVID started over in China, and it made its way here. And again, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm not wearing a tinfoil
hat. I'm a professional
hat.
Conspiracy theorist. Yeah. I mean, tell you.
I believe before my father-in-law passed away, he found the end of the internet. There was a picture of him where he's like sleeping in his chair, You know, it's like 2 a.m. and he found the end of the internet. He surfed all the way. But
well, since then they've added about, you know,
yeah. But for me, like I think it's a test run, you know, and I hope I'm wrong, but I don't think I am. I think the Board of Supervisors we elect right now are going to be the ones that are really going to have to be holding the line when the next thing comes. Because if this country or this
monkey
county,
pox?
Yeah, well, if this county,
monkeypox is next.
You know, I mean, if we believe that, you know, in 3 years when the presidential election's up, it's not going to be an all-out assault on keeping that power. I mean, the things that they're pushing on our kids. And again, like I, you know, and here's the crazy thing, right? Is we're talking about it. We're all awake. We're all knowing of this. 80 to 85% of people out there, and I'm pointing out to the street, they don't pay attention. They don't even know. Like, they just have no idea. And I didn't know. I was ignorant. I was ignorant about a lot of stuff that was going on. And for me, like, I want to go to other counties. I'm already reaching out to other counties and saying, hey, who's like-minded? So when this goes this direction, who are our friends? And who are we all going to say, hey, like, no, California, we're not doing that. Like, no, that's our water. Like, at what point do we say, we just got to scrap a lot of this stuff and turn it around? Mm-hmm. So I think that's what the people want. I think our people in Shasta County want someone to be their voice, for someone to put Shasta County first. Not Sacramento's wishes, not L.A., sure as heck not Washington, D.C., but put Shasta County first.
So you're you hit on something there. So, you know, people don't pay attention. They're just not.
Yeah.
So is that something that you're finding when you go door knocking?
Oh, geez. People don't, I mean, people don't know that. I mean, they don't even, you know, they... Yeah, I mean, I'll just say that. Like, there's a lot of, you know, uninformed voters. But again, I was one of those. Mm-hmm. 6 months ago, I was one of those. You know, I was one that, you know, always voted in the presidential elections.
Well, you got to be careful how you wake people up.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, it's got to be.
Well,
yeah.
I'm the same way. I mean, I've spent, I think of my life and my voting history and, you know, you know, I've kind of been fluid and moved back and forth and things, but yeah, I mean, it was.
See, James here was walking around in a hazmat suit the first couple of weeks of COVID, right?
I absolutely was. I was freaked out of my mind. And then when I got done on the third load of groceries and wiping it all down on the front porch with alcohol, I thought, screw this.
Yeah.
Did you stock up on toilet paper?
No.
Did you?
No, but I have some funny stories of that. My mother-in-law came home from the store laughing about how everybody was going crazy with the toilet paper. And that was like at 10 o'clock in the morning. At like 4 o'clock, she calls and says, are you guys good with toilet paper? Yeah, we're good. 8 o'clock, she calls like at night and says, hey, I just ordered like, you know, 4 bushels of it on Amazon.
Yeah.
So it was just like, just in one day, she was laughing at people at the store.
We were fortunate enough because we're on auto supply from Amazon at the store. Right? So you know, we had a warehouse full of it. That
yeah. Yeah.
So the toilet paper analogy was actually kind of interesting because you reached a point where all of a sudden people weren't quite as picky with which one they bought.
Yeah.
They just wanted something. So
I
right?
did go last night to Safeway and bought 75 bottles of baby formula and have it on my eBay for $300 a bottle. No.
You're horrible.
No.
Well, no, but yeah, you know, but that's the other thing too is, you know, I think we have to really, yeah, there's a lot. I don't want to overload the listeners with things that I'm kind of thinking about and learning from and, you know, just seeing how fast our community can, you know, turn or things can happen. And that's why this election's important. You know, you gotta really study your candidates, study their history, not just what they're saying now, but what they've done over time if they've been in office or, you know, their body of work. If they're, you know, running for an office and maybe, yeah, I mean, I could go on and on, but it's an important election.
So you find yourself in a group of candidates, right?
Yep.
So any newfound friends?
You know, I've got newfound friends, I think, on actually both panels.
Right.
You know, there's, I mean, I'm a pretty happy-go-lucky guy. Like, I've always been invited to weddings, barbecues, birthday parties. It's always been that.
It's because you don't eat much.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I know.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But I, you know, that's one of the things I said something recently. I said, whether you vote for me or not, say hi to me in Costco. Like,
yeah.
We're going to still... I don't know why I keep coming back to Costco. Maybe I'm like that's a subliminal thing.
You know, I took a long break from Costco.
Yeah.
And I just, we've just started to go back again and I missed it now that I'm going back again.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So for me, it's one of those things that, you know, I'm going to see a lot of these people regardless. And I'm going to have their back whether they vote for me or not.
Yeah.
And I can separate I can separate political, religious, social differences. Well, I can, as long, right, as long as it's truthful.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I have a, I guess you'd call it a quasi-friend that, you know, did a, you know, they made a statement about, you know, candidates bullying other candidates. And I took offense to it. I'm not a bully.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then when it comes to fundraising, like, I've fundraised my tail off to people, I mean,
It's a lot of work.
Same thing, like we said before, politics, you got to follow the money. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the money bit in a little bit.
Yeah.
End of aisle three.
Yeah. We'll
be right back. Yeah, all right.
All right.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
And we're back, last aisle.
Last aisle.
Nigel and James.
Yes.
Actually, we have kind of a cool show for our website. You can go to nigelandjames.com. We have the archives on there.
Yeah.
We've had a nice variety of guests.
We try.
Yep, it's good. So we have Kevin Cry with us, candidate for Shasta County Board of Supervisors District 1.
We'll have to get some of the people from the Cascade Adventure Camp to come on the show maybe while they're here.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah,
that would be cool.
Yeah, I've got some different people like... Britt Ahart from Alone, seasons 2 and 5. He got second in the All-Star version. And Laura Wilkinson, the most decorated high dive women female 10-meter diver, gold medalist. Then we'll have Ruthie Bolton, 2-time gold medalist, WNBA Hall of Fame. And
Days, I just want to get my hands on a gold medal just to feel it.
You know what I mean?
Like, I can't
even imagine. You'll get to wear it. Pretty soon you're going to have to hold on to it because it's going to be money.
Yeah, right.
So the Cascade Adventure Camp.
Yeah.
That's actually kind of interesting because I'm not quite sure if a lot of parents in this community know, but that's happening.
I think it's overflowed. I think it's like
full.
Yeah. I think they had 250 people from the district already sign up and 150 from the community. So they're
awesome.
Yeah, I mean George A. Johnson is a filmmaker. He's got an Emmy. I represent. He's going to be here. So yeah, they got a huge grant. So they're bringing in Britt's going to be teaching survival skills down at Anderson River Park each day with different.
I'd like
of kids.
To go to that.
Oh, he's going to teach them how to build shelters and make traps and stuff out of sticks.
I need a press pass for Enjoy, and then I'll sit there all day and watch with the kids.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So no, it'll be good to have them on.
And Laura Wilkinson, that's going to be kind of interesting because she's not only a gold medalist, but she's also going to be teaching leadership.
Yeah, she'll teach leadership in the afternoons, diving in the morning. I mean, can you imagine being a junior higher and having a gold medalist teach you how to dive? I mean,
yeah.
I mean, we're going to give these kids experiences that it'll
are they going to be at a pool?
Yeah,
okay.
up at Anderson High School. We're using
cool.
Yeah, they're going to.
I was like, are we just pretending we're diving on the grass?
No. We're going to have. I mean, these kids are going to get experiences that, it's rare.
And they get to come to Ninja.
Yeah, and the kid, they're going to come up to the Ninja Gym, not every day, but for 5 weeks, different kids will come up every day, and we'll do a 3-hour experience with them. Yeah.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I just, like I said, kids are,
They are hyper resilient, but you've got to fill it, right?
Yeah, you got to fill their bucket.
Yep. And then they just kind of go.
Yeah. But if you get them a good start, you know, their chances for success just exponentially, statistically go way up.
Mm-hmm. So you've been here since the 70s?
Late 70s. We moved to Cottonwood, I believe, in 1979, I believe.
See, and I was, when you were talking about being around for a while, I did my finger count real quick. I moved here when I moved here in 1972.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of people, over the last couple of years, a lot of people have moved out that we know, mm-hmm. but equal amount or more have moved in, mm-hmm. right? So we have a lot of newbies in Redding, Shasta County, and we know that. James know that. He gets...
Every day in the store.
Every day.
Oh, yeah.
People who just moved here. So for those who, the newbies, you know, we like to ask our guests who are part of the Shasta County Furniture some advice. So like, for you, what are some of your favorite places to go eat?
Oh, La Cabana across the street is one of my favorite for sure.
He still has chips in his teeth. Can't you see it?
Exactly. I love that place. You know, I really like Country Kitchen, Country Waffles. I mean, I like the mom and pops.
Yeah.
You know, not that Red Robin and Chick-fil-A aren't good places. I go to those places too, but I really like the people that are, you know. I mean, that's why COVID was heartbreaking for me, because I had one of my favorite little places down Lake Boulevard. You know, just they put everything into that place and 6 months shut down. They tried to go outside. There's nowhere. And plus, the sun is right there beating down on you. So,
yeah, it's not like L.A. where everybody could take their restaurants outdoors because the weather's beautiful up here.
You'd
die.
Exactly. I mean, the food gets warmer if you're sitting outside.
I know.
You know, and so
you'd have to have an ice cream speedy express in the
summer. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, that was really tough. That was tough for.
It was tough.
Yeah.
My experience
was tough to watch people.
Was not a pleasant one in the early times for sure.
Yeah. When you have people come visit, like some of your athletes or some of your peeps.
Yep.
Do you send them out and about within Shasta County or around the surrounding area?
Well, what's nice is that I've had some different people that if they're fans of the show, or you know, they'll say, "Hey, can I take them out?" But the loop we always try and hit if we can is Sundial Bridge, then Shasta Dam, and then if there's time, they'll try and go out to Burney Falls.
Yep.
But we could almost usually guarantee to hit the dam.
Mm-hmm.
And
is the dam? I haven't been there in years. And when I was a kid, the dam tour was amazing to me. Just the statistics. Do they still do tours?
I don't think
they're still closed.
They're still closed, I believe. Yeah.
There's a lot of COVID in the tunnels.
A lot.
Yeah. I mean, it's
the bats and the.
Yeah. So those are two places. But I mean, Shasta County's just got. So much. I mean, I know we've talked about it, but there's so much opportunity for tourism and other things, and hopefully it gets aligned.
Well, welcome to California Adventure District.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, it's, yeah,
you're
it's
a part of that.
I mean,
you are a very big active part of that.
Well, yeah, I'm. You know, this is a great place, but, you know, people say, you know, people, as we're talking about people that just moved here, the newbies, you know, they'll say, well, shoot, it's, you know, this isn't bad at all. You should see such and such. It's like, I don't like that. I don't like comparisons. It's like the woman, you know, that says,
that's what we're
well,
trying to
he
avoid.
He never hits me with a closed fist. You know, it's like, what are you doing? Like, why are you saying that one tent is okay?
Yeah.
It's not. And it's not humane for the person in the tent.
No.
It's not good for the people walking by it. It's not good for the person in it.
No.
You know, so got to clean it up. And we got to make this a gem where, you know,
yeah,
it's
well. Now my answer that I just blurted out was that's what we're trying to avoid when they say you should see where I came from. Well, no, I don't want to, and I don't want to see that ever happen here.
Exactly. Absolutely. And when I travel, I go to places. You know, I was just in Indianapolis and then Oklahoma City. 3 weeks ago, I was there for 5 days and 4 days between the two. And, you know, you have to really hunt around in some of those places, you know, and here it's just like.
And the other thing that I always say, too, and I'm guilty of it, too, so I'll be the first to admit it, that, you know, there's a bit of hypocrisy in it at some points. I've said it is, you know, people will say, oh, you know, we need to do this or we need to do that or we need to get what, I can't wait till we get one of these shops like a Macy's or whatever. And then they'll say that because it'll be like, you know, there will be more like the big city or it'll be like the Bay Area or, you know. And my thing is I don't want to live there. So therefore I don't want this place to model itself after that. Right.
Exactly.
What I'm looking for is, yes, there are things that I love about the city, but that's why I go visit and then I come home. I want us as a community to figure out who we are and develop our city based around who we are as people, our lifestyle, and create our own environment, not model it after somebody else.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, when we want to bring in outside help and outside planners, I just chuckle. You know, it's like the city of Reading with the whole rodeo grounds and all that stuff. I mean, if this would have been 2 years ago, that stuff would have been surplus property. There's no doubt in my mind. So we dodged a bullet, but we're going to spend, you know, $1.2 million, whatever it is, on a study. It's like, I don't want to be Cleveland. Like, you know, when I went to that meeting and they pulled up a thing of Cleveland, I was like, really? That's what we wanted? We want to be Cleveland?
Well, excuse me. In Cleveland, they do have the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Which you could use one of those.
And my thing is this. We have, you know, we're building more parks and we can't even maintain the ones we have.
Yep.
You know, South City Park's got like an iron gate around it. The old 99 Trail, which, you know, was like a $1.25 million raise. I don't know if like 15 years ago, 20. I don't know. It was a long time ago. They got all this money together, fundraiser, to preserve that. Now it's like got trash in the water, you know, gasoline cans tipped over. And it's just like, you know, let's take care of what we have first. And then let's build more.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds to me like you're fired up.
I'm fired. Well, you got me fired back up talking about newbies and how great this county is. Like, I'm proud of it, you know, and I'm unapologetic for Shasta County. I think Shasta County, I think a lot of good people here.
And I appreciate you saying that, too, because I get a little frustrated nowadays. It's a weird thing where, we all are busy apologizing for things that, you know, like are like, what is this all about? This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
What are we apologizing for?
Exactly. Yeah,
you know.
I'll just stop at that. I mean, because there's people that, you know, want to believe that, you know, we need more. I mean, culture, and we got to have this or we got to have that. It's like, you know what? Like, a lot of us grew up here. A lot of us have built businesses and are doing just fine. And you know, I'm always for progress.
Yeah.
But not progress at circumventing what the people here want.
Well, you know, there's different definitions of progress, right?
I mean, look at that. We just had all these people, lovely people walk by, and they're all eating homemade ice cream from probably Taste and See, and they're walking downtown. That's what people want. People want.
Yeah. And I want to be able to do that at 9:30 at night.
Yeah.
Or 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
You know, and not, you know, and feel safe to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what I want.
I'm glad you're fired up. Would you do it again?
The radio show? Absolutely. I'll do it tomorrow. You know, I'm going to get through this campaign, which hopefully will be over in 3 weeks. You know, if there's not somebody that's 50 plus one, you go to November. I'm really hoping this is over in June.
Yeah.
Because I think the differences between my opponent and myself, but honestly, I don't even feel like I have an opponent. I feel like I'm not running against somebody. I feel like I'm running for Shasta County.
Mm.
And if the Shasta County I'm running for agrees with what I want, then I'm the clear choice. Mm-hmm. And if people want what's going on now and maybe, you know, a more fullness of what's going on now, then someone will pick
someone else. I just want people to actually learn about who they're voting for. Actually take some time and read something.
I'll tell you what. Read the voter guide. Read the voter guide. Like, that's what I would say.
Because I'm all about you vote for who you want to. It's America. That's how it works. But, like, learn something before you just click on a button or check mark or, know something.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what this really comes down to. It just comes down to not just voter turnout, but voter
intelligence.
Know, voter intelligence, but I don't even want to say intelligence, because I believe if both are presented, it's a very easy choice.
Mm-hmm.
Just based on the doors that I'm knocking on, the people and the support I'm, like, the people that supported me this morning. I mean, look at my Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
You know, vote.
Well, you talk about people being informed, so we'll leave with this. You know, I'm always surprised how many people don't know that this is a republic.
Correct.
And they use the word democracy. And
Republic sounds so much cooler.
It does. It sounds very Star Wars.
That's what I was going to say. It's in my wheelhouse. It's Star Wars.
And there's that whole statement, a republic if you can keep it. And the key word is if you can keep it, because it's very fragile.
Mm-hmm.
So even California is supposed to be
a republic,
right? It's a republic. And, you know, so. Anyway, Mr. Kevin Cry, thank you for coming in.
Thank you, Nigel and James.
Have a did you eat a Cabana already?
I did.
Are you going to go back
full meal, or were you just the bag of chips?
No, two street tacos, one carne asada, one carnitas, and a whole thing of chips.
Yeah. Okay.
And a glass of water.
So you're good.
Yeah. And I'm going to speak to about 50, 60 people here in a few minutes.
So I just heard chips, great. And I thought, well, that's really sad.
You were thinking about the 70s television show.
Awesome. The chips, yeah.
All right, Northern California, thank you very much.
We'll see you next
time. Week.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Thanks, guys.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.